Welcome back to the Navigating Your Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Miter. And today we are going to talk about becoming a leader that others want to follow, not because you have the title, but because you make a positive impact on their lives, that you are that person that they think about when asked, what leader has the most positive influence in your daily life? So get ready, take some notes. I'm actually going to give you some action steps along the way, and then we'll summarize it all at the end with four things you can start thinking about and putting into action immediately so that you can become that leader who does make a big impact on the people that they lead in a great positive way. All right, get ready. Let's get going. Welcome to the Navigating Your Leadership Podcast, where we are changing the wave of the future. Like it or not, the world has changed, and as an exceptional leader, you have to change with it or risk being left behind. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I'm here to help you navigate this new leadership style. Inside the podcast, you'll discover what your team really wants and needs from you, how to tap into your God-given talents, how to increase your productivity with a strengths-based team, and how to realign with your North Star to truly enjoy your work and your life. This podcast will inspire and empower you today so you can elevate your influence into the future. If you're ready to step out of your comfort zone, then untie those dock lines and jump on board as we begin navigating your leadership. All right, so today we are talking about these four needs that followers want from the leaders that they're working with. And this is all based on a study that Gallup conducted where they interviewed a random sampling of more than 10,000 followers on what leader could they think of that made a positive impact on their lives currently or in the past. And then they asked, when they found that leader, they asked them to think of three words that best described what this person contributed to their life. And after pouring through all the answers, Gallup was able to narrow it down to really four basic needs of followers. And that's what we're going to dive into today. And when you start showing up and exuding these four core needs or values, you will become that leader that others excitedly follow. And as I shared before, not because you have the title, but because they choose to. And I really do feel like these four core needs are something that every leader should be thinking about. And it doesn't matter if you're a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, maybe a sales manager of a sales team, whether you sell cars or, you know, insurance, financial advisors, whether you're a leader in a religious organization, a healthcare manager, a direct sales leader, or even just a leader in your own home. When you can start implementing these four, again, I look at them as core values more than anything, you will find that people, again, will just want to follow you. They'll stay with you. And isn't that what we really want today as leaders, is you want to attract and keep the best of the best. And also, it just gives more harmony and happiness to those on your team. Again, whether they're your family or somebody you're paid to lead. All right, what are these four values? So number one, the first one is trust. Other words that were used to describe this type of leader, they had respect, honesty, integrity. This is one of the ones I feel like is the hardest to earn, and it's the easiest to lose. It's kind of like gaining weight, right? It's really, except for the opposite, it's really hard to lose the weight and really easy to gain weight. This is the opposite. It's hard to earn trust, but it's so easy to lose it. You can lose it in a snap. We've seen that happen with, you know, corporate leaders out there that make one bad decision and their trust that they built for years is gone. And definitely we see this with politicians, right? So according to a Gallup poll, chances of an employee being engaged at work when they do not trust the company's leaders is just 1 in 12. Whereas in stark contrast, the chances of employees being engaged at work are better than 1 in 2 if they trust the organization's leadership. And that's based on the Gallup polls and from the Lead with Strengths book by Tom Rath. And you're going to hear me refer back to that. And I'll put that in the show notes too. It's one of my most favorite, easy to read books, very simple, but very impactful books. So trust among team members is also vital. So it's not just that the team trusts you, the leader, but how can you create an environment where they trust each other, where you have collaboration versus competition? When you can create that environment where the team trusts each other and you, you will find the speed and efficiency with which projects get done will definitely increase because they already know and trust each other. If you put two people together who don't have trust, they're going to spend the majority of that project time just starting to trust each other and know, you know, whether or not they can trust that other person. Versus if there's already that built in, because it is earned, but that environment where they know this person, they know this person's going to show up and do a good job. They know that they can trust their ability to do a good job. They're going to jump right into that project and get it done faster. And again, trust is not something that you can just talk about. You have to earn it by your actions. And here are some practical steps that can help you start earning that trust. First of all, just follow through on what you say you're going to do. That can be based on the salary you promise somebody you're going to pay them. If you say somebody's going to get a promotion, follow through with that. If you are in a meeting and there are ideas shared and you say you're going to implement them, then by golly, you better implement those ideas. Another way to earn trust is not to micromanage people. Show your team that you trust them. Give them the confidence in themselves that you know they're going to do a good job. So if you delegate something, don't micromanage it. And ladies, I want you to hear that one too, because that is one of the best things to do when you are running a household as well. Don't micromanage your husband. If you ask him to empty the dishwasher or load the dishwasher, just let him do it. It doesn't matter if it's your way. So I had to just throw that one in there. And with your kids as well, parents. But definitely as a leader, if you want to earn the trust, you have to give the trust, and then you have to trust the employees, your team, to do what they say they're going to do as well. And when you come into an environment or you create that environment that they feel that trust, they're going to show up for you. They will. Another thing to do is not overpromise if you aren't sure you can deliver. And if something happens that for whatever reason out of your control, you can't deliver on the promise, let them know why. Be very honest about it. I made this mistake early on in my network marketing days. I forgot to send a price to somebody. That person never trusted me again. When there were competitions and stuff, she never really played because she didn't trust me to follow through. That was my bad. I dropped the ball on that. And that was so hard to ever get her trust back. I never really did. The other thing too is sometimes we do have to deliver some hard news. When that happens, tell the truth. Don't sugarcoat it. Just get right to the point and tell the truth, even when it's the hard news to share. I already mentioned this, but make sure to create that team collaboration versus competing against each other environment. This is especially true if you're leading a sales team How can you create an environment? Maybe it's based on the pay structure. Maybe it's based on, you know, other prizes, things like that. Are you creating a team that is competing for things, or are they collaborating together? If you naturally have these strengths, you will probably find creating trust to become very natural for you. So if you have consistency and responsibility, these are things you just naturally do well. All right, the second need of followers is compassion. Other words that were used to describe compassion in the Gallup study were caring, friendship, happiness, love. And in a study of more than 10 million people, those that could say, "My supervisor or someone at work seems to care about me as a person," were significantly more likely to stay with the organization, have much more engaged customers, are substantially more productive, and produce more profitability for the organization. And that was based on a Gallup study, again, of more than 10 million people. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have a close relationship with every team member. You know, compassion, I think, sometimes gets kind of scary for some leaders. When they hear that word, they think they have to be this open book and know everything about everybody. And that isn't necessarily what it means. But it does mean that your team, your employees, know that you care about them as a person and that you exude a positive energy. And when the team knows that you genuinely care about them as a person, they're going to show up for you. They're going to want to stay in that environment. They'll be more loyal to the company and to the team. So, how are some simple ways you can start implementing this? One super easy thing to do is just, one, know everybody's name. That sounds pretty darn basic, but I've seen this in leadership. Sometimes, especially in a larger organization, people don't even know their name. Now, this is where your cell phone can be so handy because you can put in people's name, put a description of them if you have to, put their spouse's name, their kids' names. Do you know their birthdays? Just those small little things mean so much. Also, if possible, do you know your team members' ambitions, their dreams, their goals? Now, if you do lead a large organization, you can encourage your managers to do this. You know your manager's ambitions, dreams, and goals, and then your managers know their teams. So it doesn't matter what size of an organization you are running. There are ways to do this and make everybody feel like somebody there cares about them as a person. Other things to think about is, do you know what makes your team members, your employees tick? What are their strengths? Also, what ticks them off? All of these things are so important. When do they show up as their best? That's what the beauty of knowing somebody's strengths. You can know what do they need to show up every day to do their best job. And also, what are you expecting them that maybe isn't in their wheelhouse? This is really vital. Another thing to think about when it comes to compassion and the environment that we're in right now today because of COVID is, do you know what's going on in the family dynamics in their home front, especially if your team is working from home or hybrid working situations? What's their environment like at home? Do they have small children they're trying to work around? Do they have elderly parents? Are their kids stuck on school buses for 3 hours a day? This is happening right now in the world or in the USA. There's a shortage of school bus drivers. And all of those things are going to affect the way they show up at work and the work that they do. And if you understand that, you can have an open, trusting, compassionate conversation with them to work around that situation. Maybe it's as simple as, if they're working from home, do they need to take a couple hours off in the afternoon to go pick their children up from school? When you can offer just a simple solution like that, you will find that your employees, your team are going to love you more. They're going to love the company. And they're not going to be searching the one ads for a new job. Now, I keep saying the one ads in my podcast. I'm aging myself there. But they're not going to be looking online and LinkedIn for a new career. They're going to appreciate you. And they trust them to get the work done if they need to take a couple of hours off in the afternoon. Some strengths that will naturally be really good at showing compassion. Obviously, empathy. Somebody high in empathy does this very well. And also relators. Relators, if you use that strength to really get to know people on a deeper level, that's going to become your superpower for compassion. Okay, the next need of followers is stability. And other words were like security, strength, support, peace. And a leader that can be counted on in times of need. And times and businesses need to change and evolve to grow, but team members need to know that the core values of the company and the leader are stable. They need to have confidence in their future. And that stability may be met by just knowing that they're going to have a steady paycheck, that they're going to have a job 6 months from now, a year from now, and that they have safe working conditions. This is kind of the basic needs are being met. In the Lead with Strengths book, they explain that employees who have high confidence in their company's financial future are 9 times as likely to be engaged in their jobs when compared to those who have lower confidence about their organizational's financial future. 9 times. So if your team knows that you have a stable environment, a stable company, and you're stable as the leader, they are 9 times to be engaged in their job. Think about that. What would that do for your future of your organization? That will create the stability because you know your employees are showing up every single day doing the best job they can do. So what are some ways you can create this stability in your company and your team? Is first of all, just have transparency. Share the data and the stats with your team and your employees. Let them know, peel back the curtain, what's really happening behind the scenes. Now, maybe you can't share things like salaries and things like that, but what data, for those that want data, can you share with them so they see where the company is today and where it's going? Can you clearly communicate on your team's goals and plans for the future? I was talking to my son yesterday and he was talking about a company that he once worked for. And he said that was the frustrating thing, that they were supposed to have these quarterly meetings where the founder of the company would share the direction of the company, where they were going, what their plans were for the future. And for whatever reason, they would always be getting canceled. So it ended up being a yearly meeting. So they really never felt like they knew what was this person even thinking? Where were they? Where was the future? Where were they going? What were the goals of the company? So clearly communicate, what are your team's goals? What are your plans for the future? And how are you going to get there? And do it often. Do it often. You can also create that stability by letting your team members know or your employees know that they have a future with the company. Is there growth for them? Career growth. We talked about that last week, and just the professional development can help create that as well. They also need to know from you as a leader that you are stable. There is nothing worse than maybe you've worked in this environment where you have a boss or a CEO who you don't know who you're going to get that day. It's kind of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They're hot and cold, and some days they're very positive and happy-go-lucky, and other days you're scared to see them in the hallway. We can't be those leaders. You need to show up on a consistent basis so your team knows who you are. Every situation. And it's the same in every situation. You know, if you're one of those people that are, you're one person at work and another person on the weekends, like how can you show up more authentically and be that leader that is that stable person? Another way you can do this is by scheduling. And this is more for my direct sales, network marketing people, the sales managers out there. Maybe it is in a healthcare environment too. Is there a set schedule that they can count on? Do they know when they are expected to show up? Do they know when they can count on you showing up for them? This was another mistake I made here. I love freedom and flexibility. I love being spontaneous. And I was running my organization like that for a long time. And then I realized that that doesn't work for most people. Most people want to know, okay, every Tuesday night we have a meeting. This is where it's going to be. This is what's going to happen in that meeting. This is what you can expect from me. Every Wednesday, I'm going to be in my office returning phone calls. Like, they need to know when they can count on you to show up. And again, that was a mistake I made. And I realized, like, I need more consistency for my people. Even though I may not work best that way, most people work better with a consistent schedule and plan. So they know there's that stable, again, environment. The strengths that will find this very easy to implement would be consistency and discipline. When you have those high strengths, you thrive on stability yourself. The last key thing that followers need is hope. They need other words that were to describe this: direction, faith, guidance. Followers want stability today and hope for the future. This is a biblical principle. And Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no hope, no vision, the people will perish. And hope provides that vision. A Gallup study showed that hope was the single most important area high-level leaders can have, where high-level leaders can have the biggest influence on their organization. 69% of employees who strongly agreed that their leadership made them feel enthusiastic about the future were engaged in their jobs, versus only 1% who said their leadership did not make them feel enthusiastic about the future. So are you helping your team, your employees, the people that you lead, feel enthusiastic about the future? Hope gives people something to look forward to. And a leader who provides hope can help a team get through the tough times that otherwise might feel chaotic and scary. The best leaders in the last 2 years did this very well. With COVID and all the changes in the workforce and the changes in how people are working, your team needs you to provide hope right now. They're looking for you as their leader to give them that vision that we're going to be okay. We're going to get through this okay. Your team needs you to be that steady guiding light when the seas are tossing the ship around. And they need to know that you're in the boat with them. So what are some practical ways where you can create hope? It's looking at your own schedule or the way you operate. If you're a leader, and most leaders end up falling into this trap. So you probably are this, unless you've already been very conscious about it, where you're reacting to the daily demands versus initiating plans for the future. So look at your own schedule and the way you operate and pay attention every day. Are you just in that reacting mode and responding to your daily to-dos? Or do you guard time to think, plan, and create the future? I would highly recommend that you start carving out that time, because that's where you're going to create that vision for the future. And then you share that vision with your team. Be clear on the vision with your team and the plans on how you're going to get there. And again, it goes back to what we've already said. Share it frequently. They can't hear it enough. And if you have to make some tough decisions, share why you made those decisions. Because if you don't share the why behind the tough decisions you have to make, maybe it's laying off somebody or a team or a pay cut. Like, if you don't share the why, they're going to create their own narrative. And usually it's much uglier and rumor raging type narratives that they create in their mind and or talks amongst themselves versus the real practical reason, black and white reason behind the decisions that you have to make. I've seen this happen in the company I worked for recently, and that was honestly one of the reasons I chose to leave. I heard the narrative and the ugly rumors. It's like, I don't understand this. They didn't give us a clear explanation why they let a whole team go. I didn't agree with the change. I didn't know why they made that change. And I lost trust in them and decided to move on. So it's really important that you create that hope and that vision for them. And again, it doesn't mean it's all going to be, you know, the perfect vision for it, but sometimes we have to make tough choices, but be very clear on why you're making those decisions. The strengths that are going to find creating hope very natural and easy to do would be futuristic and maximizer. If those of us with high futuristic, we live with visionarying and hope for the future. All right, what are four? I'm going to leave you with four action thoughts. And yes, I know that's kind of an action thought. And here's my thinking behind action thoughts. It's something to think about and then act on. So number one, your four action thoughts for this podcast episode. Number one, what can you do today to work on these four needs of followers? Number two, what are you already doing well? Again, it may be what areas you have those natural strengths in. Number three, what areas can you just do better? Maybe you're already doing them well, but how could you do them better? Number four, who do you need to add to your leadership team to help in areas that you may not show up naturally to do? Of the hope, you know, providing hope, stability, compassion, and trust. Maybe it's just not your natural way. Can you add somebody to your team that can provide that for your team? So next week, we are going to have a lively conversation. We're going to kind of change the format a little bit. And you're going to be pretty much a fly on the wall of a lively conversation I had with another fellow strengths coach. And honestly, we were just having a conversation. I'm like, I need to hit record. This is so good. And you're going to hear how assessments like strengths or DISC can be used to enhance a person or hinder them if not used correctly and with professional guidance. And you're going to hear so many just great nuggets. And it's just going to be one to really listen in and walk away with so much knowledge on assessments and strengths and lots of juicy stuff. So don't miss next week's lively conversation. And our quote for this week comes from Dwight D. Eisenhower. And he says, leadership is the art of getting someone else to do something you want done because he wants to do it. And this is the type of leader that you will become when you can offer your team trust, compassion, stability, and hope. My hope and prayer is that today's episode left you feeling inspired and empowered with some tangible steps to implement today. But honestly, the podcast is just the beginning. Through my coaching, my clients learn how to lean into their strengths to create their unique style of leadership, along with gaining strategies to create dynamic and productive teams, teams with a mutual passion and respect for each other. Whether you just need a few small course corrections, or you feel like you need an entirely new ship to lead, I do love a challenge. I'd love to invite you to send me a DM, or better yet, let's hop on a call and see how we can continue this leadership journey together. The link to book a call is in the show notes. I look forward to hearing from you.